you've been a coach forever, but right. now you're established
right.
as a defensive coordinator. Does the mindset change or anything like that?
No, I'm still as hungry. You're hungry as ever. You got new players coming in. Obviously, we haven't gotten to where we wanted to be yet. So, you know, always looking forward to a new challenge each and every year. It's exciting. It's fun. You know, we just got through a great spring. The summer goes as fast as ever. And here we are in football season again. So I'm excited.
This defensive team, I mean, what do you think as far as the other offenses you're going to face in the AFC North? I mean, with Flacco, Roethlisberger, Cleveland's a little bit of an unknown. What do you think about the other opposing offenses?
Well, we played against them, you know, forever. So, sure. I mean, Flacco's been there for, what, eight, you know, five, six, 7 years now. Roethlisberger's been there. So we know exactly pretty much. I mean, I pretty much don't have to turn the tape on when we play one of those teams. We could probably go out there right now, and the guys would know the game plan for the most part. So it's nice that you can – if there's some continuity, obviously Cleveland's going to be a little bit different, but it's a tough division. There always is.
How are you going to game plan against Q? That's kind of bizarre. I mean, so what's that going to be like?
Just a normal week. I mean, practice against him every day. We go, you know. So, you know, we used to beat him up in practice a couple of days a week. He used to go down to my office and steal all my, say, what plays are they running? So now Hugh and I go back. We practice all the time together. So it's a normal week. Every team's different. Just because Hugh's the head coach, it's not going to change anything.
Is that the kind of thing where the media will make a big deal of it?
Yes.
And you're going to look at your tape, and yep. you're going to do what you always do. Yep. You're going to do the same thing every day, yep. no matter who you're going against.
It's not about Paul Gunther. It's not about Hugh Jackson. It's about the players. It's always the players' game.
And I bet my paycheck Hugh would say the same thing. It's yeah, not about him. It's not about you. It's about the guys on the field.
That's exactly right.
It's kind of the fraternity. So you shake hands, you little hug before, and then you forget about it.
Move on. Yep. So,
what do you think will be the best thing about this defense this year?
I just think that, you know, one of the things coming off the way the season ended, I told me, you know, you're one of the most feared units in the league. You've earned that. But we have to be smarter situationally and emotionally on those things. I said we have a talented unit. They know. They work hard together. They know the defense. And, you know, every great defense I've ever always been around has some kind of identity. And I think those guys have established that, you know, throughout their play. But, again, in some of those things that go on after the whistle in between the lines, that we have to make sure we're smarter and learn from those things. We can't run from that. We got to handle those men and move forward and learn from it.
Is that tough at times, getting guys to change an attitude like that, which, since you were so close and some whistles cost you dearly?
No, you just got to, as a coach, that's probably the hardest part of the job. It's not so much the X's and O's. It's how you can motivate these guys or teach them in different ways getting to the same point where they don't realize, hey, you know, this is all kind of coming together now. So you got to really be creative with how you roll it out to the players so they understand it all the same way.
Is there something that keeps you up at night as far as on your defense that you say we've got to shore up, you know, this as far as scheme-wise, technical-wise?
No, not really. I stay up at night on Tuesdays or Wednesdays and Thursdays when I'm showing them what I'm showing them in practice, what plays that I'm showing them that against our defense is really at the end of the week when I'm coming out of the tunnel on Sundays, I'm as calm as can be. It's Wednesdays and Thursdays where that keeps me up at night.
I'm not surprised that Wednesday and Thursday keeping you up, but I'm a little surprised you're that calm coming through the tunnel on Sundays.
Well, the plans on the sheet. I don't really stray much from that. I mean, you might have an adjustment here or there, but the more you adjust off the plan, the more the guys haven't seen during the week, so you're not doing the player a service that way.
Okay, so the TV guys that make this big deal about all the adjustments made at halftime, is a lot of that hot air by TV guys?
Well, it's not so much an adjustment that you make. It might be something you had in the plan already that you didn't get to. You might have saved for the second half, you know, where you may roll something different out in the second half,
or
where they can't sit down and take whatever it is 15 minutes to talk about it.
When Marvin talked about the Steelers game, he said, you know, there are 31 teams that are mad about their last game of the year and how it ended. Expectations for this year. I mean, do you look at it as we're here to win a Super Bowl and nothing else? That's basically what he implied.
Period. Yeah. Done. I'm not here to win a playoff game. I'm not here to, you know, obviously we still got to win our home games. We still got to win the AFC North, so I'm not overlooking that. But when we come in here on Thursday and the players are sitting in those seats in those meeting rooms, we have one goal in mind, and that's it. Win the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry, Paul. Excuse no. me. Easy or tough to get over that last loss?
We're already over it. We've addressed it in the spring. We've handled it. We've moved on as men. And like I said, I don't want the players to forget about it because I want them to learn about it. It's part of what we have. It's part of our history. So we won't run from it. We won't change the way we play. What we're going to do is we're going to put our foot on the gas pedal and we're going to move forward.
Do you think we'll see a different perfect?
I think so. I think he's learned. I mean, I think that he's got to understand the league's changed. You know, if Burford was playing in 1980s, he'd be on the cover of the Atari football. You see what I mean? That's just the fact. I mean, the game's changed. So I think, you know, I've addressed it with him throughout the spring, and he's understanding that, you know, his suspension's unprecedented really through the league. I don't think anybody's ever been suspended for that. So he's going to have to change the way he plays, and I think he understands that.
Do you think the league used him as a message to say, okay, life has changed?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He suspended 3 games, and we got to learn from him and move forward.
In his absence, I'm trying to think, is it Vincent Ray? I mean, who are you looking at? Who's stepping up in that?
I mean, he wasn't with us for 8 games last year. We were 8-0. So we got maybe one guy, maybe two, maybe 3 guys. So I'm going to make him an assistant coach for 3 weeks on my staff. So maybe he can help out a guy here and there for 10 plays, 20 plays, whatever it may be.